Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
They beat the very talented, unbelievable, elite Seattle Mariners last night. Oh, thank the Lord they were able to beat a good team. Because I was really getting nervous. I mean, I know they have the best record in the American League, right? I know. I know that now they have the most runs scored in the American League. They've given up the least amount. They've given up the least amount of runs in the American League. Their starting rotation is on a run that they haven't seen since 1968. The starting rotation has had an ERA around one, two times through the rotation. But none of that matters because they blew a game and lost a game to Seattle, and they lost the series to Baltimore, who, by the way, just got swept by St. Louis. So now how do we think about them? And they earlier in the season lost the series 2 out of 3 to Oakland. Oh, man. I mean, geez, I guess Baltimore stinks. I don't know what to think. The overreaction to a baseball season is nuts. And this narrative that the Yankees are somehow have a real struggle against good teams is just so dumb. And we pick and choose, and that's what bothers me the most. We pick and choose what good teams are, because I will tell you right now, if the Yankees steamrolled Seattle, if the Yankees finished off that game and Clay Holmes didn't give up 4 runs in the ninth, and then the Yankees somehow won the second game, the narrative would be, if there even was one around the series, it would be, oh, there's the Yankees beating up on average teams again. But because they won that game and Clay Holmes gave up 4 runs miraculously, you know, for Seattle, miraculous. For me, it was terrible. But because that happened, and because they lost the first 2 games of the series in a 4-game set that they haven't even lost the series yet, but because those 2 games happened, suddenly Seattle is a really good team and plays into the narrative that the Yankees can't beat really good teams. Although Cleveland, who just had their way with the Mets in every which way, who has the second best record in the American League, who on average, game, you know, per game, has scored the most runs per game in the American League because they played one less game than the Yankees, who has a, you know, a 30-plus wins and having a great year, the Yankees go on the road and beat them 2 out of 3. Listen, Cleveland is a joke, and everyone inside the Central Division is a joke. It's just we say what we want to say. We believe what we want to believe. If the Yankees beat them, they're not good teams. If the Yankees lose to them, they're good teams and elite teams, and shows you that the Yankees can't beat good teams. It's ridiculous. The Yankees, and if you watch last night, beat up on Seattle. You get a home run from Judge to start the game. You get 2 home runs from Juan Soto. Nestor Cortez gives you another, very solid, I was about to say incredible, no runs scored over 5 innings. He was kind of shaky, but at home he's got an ERA of 1.12 where the players dwell, and that's where Nestor Cortez is. And the biggest problem the Yankees have is how they're going to fit Gerrit Cole back into the rotation that's pitching like the best rotation in all of baseball. So don't get confused. Don't believe what you hear. The New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. That's a fact, Jack. And Verdugo, you want to talk about the difference between this year, this team, and previous teams, even going back to 2019? And other years where they had monster years and won 100-plus games and lost in ALCSs, 22, where they won 99 games, had a bad second half, an incredible first half, but won 99 games, won a division, got to an ALCS and got swept. You know what the difference is between that team and this team? You want to look at it plain, bluntly, other than just Juan Soto, which is good enough, but Verdugo. The difference in what they are throwing out in left field now compared to what they were playing in left field back then, even while winning, is night and day. They were playing Hicks. They were playing infielders. Oswaldo Cabrera was your left fielder to start playoff games. They have an excellent defender in Verdugo and a guy who they put cleanup and change the lineup, hits a two-run home run after they give up a three-run home run and make it a close game in the eighth. He comes back and finishes it off, the night capper, with a two-run shot. And he has been everything you could have asked and more. And that is the main difference. Left field has been a barren wasteland, and now it is filled by not a great player, maybe not even an all-star type player, but a solid player and a good player. And a guy who has been an excellent defensive player who puts the ball in play. He hits it all over the field, still has pop for a home run, especially in the short porch of Yankee Stadium. He's been great. The starting rotation's been great. And besides a blip on the radar the other night for Clay Holmes, they've got a closer who hardly gives up runs, a bullpen that's been one of the best in the American League, and they are as good as anyone. And don't buy into, well, they've struggled here in this series, or they lost three out of four, against Baltimore, so there's some underlying problem. It's absolute nonsense. One series in the middle, it's about how you play overall. Just like the Mets, it's not about getting swept by Cleveland. It's about the fact that they're terrible at the moment and can't do anything right. They can't play defense. They can't run the bases. They can't hit. When they do hit, they can't pitch. Hauser stinks. The bullpen is starting to show cracks, including Diaz already being taken out of the closer role. Your best players are having terrible seasons, and you just look like a bad baseball team. That's more important than whether or not they got swept, lost the series. It's how they're playing. And the New York Yankees are playing like one of the best teams in baseball. And that silly narrative about losing to good teams is just ridiculous. Because if they beat Seattle, they would be a walkover. They'd be a pushover who hasn't beaten the Yankees since 1995. Even when they win 116 games, they can't beat the Yankees. They've lost to the Yankees in every postseason, 2001. They never beat the Yankees. They've been in the playoffs, one time since 2001. Oh, so you beat the Mariners. Oh, big deal. That's what people would say if they beat the Mariners. But because the Mariners beat the Yankees, you see, they can't beat the good teams. Because that's what's being said about beating Cleveland and beating Minnesota. Minnesota came into a Yankee series winning 17 out of 20. And while I'm not telling you Minnesota is a world beater or a great team, they were hot. They were scoring tons of runs. They won 17 of 20, including a 12-in-a-row stretch. And the Yankees beat the crap out of them. And Cleveland is the second-best team in the American League right now. And despite not being uber-talented, they do everything right. The lineup has scored a ton of runs. And taking care of two out of three of them means absolutely nothing because, they've beaten Cleveland in the playoffs the last couple of times they've faced them.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And they play in the lousy Central. Have you looked at the West? I'm sorry, the Seattle winning that division, leading that division, being a handful of games over 500 makes Seattle some sort of world beater. The Houston Astros have completely fallen off. The Angels don't have Mike Trout, and we're terrible with them. The Oakland A's play in that division, and the Rangers are dealing with injuries and haven't gotten off to a good start. But somehow, because they're leading the Western division, it means a hell of a lot more. They have the worst batting average of any team that they would be. If they made the playoffs today, they would have the worst batting average of any team in the American League that's made the playoffs in the last 25 years. But no, they're elite because they won two games. Well, that we're talking about. And since we're at it, let's talk about the owner. The owners have been major topics around here lately, and I admit, I'll be the first to say I've gotten flack for defending the comments on social media, on Twitter and X. I'm not telling you, I'm not defending Hal Steinbrenner's comments. And let me just say this. I agree that Hal Steinbrenner should not have said this. And if you haven't heard the quotes or seen the story, Hal Steinbrenner referenced saying the current state of the Yankee money, I can't think of payroll, thank you. Sometimes the words just don't come out. The current state of the Yankee payroll is not feasible long term for the New York Yankees. That is, I mean, it's amazing where we go and how quickly we turn. Two days ago, the owner and Brian Cashman both talk about the importance of re-signing Juan Soto and extending him, and that we will have talks about trying to extend him sometime this season. It's important to us. We're going to try and do it. And that leads to rampant speculation that he's going to sign an extension. Boris didn't dismiss it. Soto said, hey, I'm open to conversation. So therefore, Yankees are going to sign Juan Soto. Yesterday, comments are shown that where the owner says, well, look, having a $300-plus million payroll, despite it not being a salary cap sport, the penalties for having this kind of money is just not feasible long term. And now suddenly, Juan Soto will never be a Yankee. That's clear indication that there is no interest and that they don't have the money and don't want to spend the money. And next year is going to look dramatically different because the owner is a cheap bastard who only cares about making money and beer and chicken buckets and all the other cliches that get thrown at you every time this argument comes up. So let me just say this. One, and first of all, everything's going great. And I disagree with the Seattle comments from Sean Marash in the afternoon show, but he did say this, and he's 100% right. Why the hell? I know you were asked a direct question, I suppose. Why on earth, with everything going great for the New York Yankees, they're the best team in the American League, everything's going great, everyone loves Juan Soto and Judge, the pitching has been remarkable. I mean, you have to look very, very hard to find a major issue, or really any issue whatsoever, right now at the New York Yankees. So why on earth would you throw this out into the atmosphere at this current moment? Just, we all know you kind of feel this way. Just shut up about it. Why would you create an issue inside this fan base that is so fickle that losing two games to Seattle changes the feeling around the fan base after they haven't lost two consecutive games in a month? It's just dumb. Know your fan base. You knew your fan base. That's why you had the comments after the season. That's why you traded for Juan Soto. You know the fan base is pissed. They haven't won a World Series since 2009. We're all pissed. You had a miserable season last year. We're all pissed. Don't throw things out there like this to give red meat to the haters and the doubters and your personal haters. Just don't say these things. Now, once we get past the idea it was a stupid comment, let's just say this. I've read the story. I didn't hear the comments. I don't know if they're sound. But the idea that saying this means he won't sign Juan Soto, or that next year's payroll won't look similar to this year's payroll, is not what I took from it. Nowhere, unless I miss something, which, by the way, not impossible. I'm half asleep half the time. He did not say this has to change next year. He's saying moving forward and the way we operate, which is very similar to what he's been saying for years, is that we cannot operate at this payroll for an extended period of time or moving forward. We are not going to live without ever coming back from. We are not going to spend forever in this category of being over the luxury tax and paying the rest of baseball to try and beat us. But he went out there and put them over the luxury tax because he recognized where they are, where the fan base is, and that they need to win. And moving forward, yes, next year they might still have to be in this. As long as the Stanton contract and the DJ LeMahieu contract are still on the books, there's still a likelihood on some level for the next year or two that they will be in this spot. But moving forward, the plan is not to consistently have a payroll like this forever. You don't have to like that. I don't like that. They're certainly rich enough where the idea that it's not feasible is probably a poor choice of words. Not ideal would be better. Not feasible, considering the amount of money you're worth, seems pretty stupid and inaccurate, and something I don't want to hear from my owners, the New York Yankees, and we can get into ticket prices and money for food and this and that. But ultimately, not feasible is probably not accurate. But we know they don't want to operate in this way. And here's my point. You don't have to. The Arizona Diamondbacks have been to a World Series more recently than the New York Yankees. You do not have to operate in the highest of echelons of your payroll to win. The Mets tried it. They're breaking it down. I know we're slightly getting on ownership, but we're not killing. You expect them to spend money next year, I know. As he breaks it down, we all expect Juan Soto and everybody else. You know, every free agent pitcher, Burns is going to be there. Bueller's going to be there. Soto's going to be there. He's going to spend all this money, fine, great. He's getting away from the high-priced team that lost last year. Big money in today's game doesn't guarantee victory. And there is a path, and this was my point on Twitter, there is a path to still sign Juan Soto, because I know once the comments are made, that's the jump automatically. Well, forget Juan Soto. No. There is a path to sign Juan Soto. There is a path to still have a lower payroll than this and have the stars. And how you do it is what they're trying to do now by developing their young talent. How do you have Soto on a team paying what you have to pay him? How do you have Judge, Soto, Cole on a team while keeping your payroll at limits? By having the middle of your defense young, free, young and cheap. Having Wells as your starting catcher. Having Volpe as your starting shortstop. Having possibly, I know we haven't seen him in forever, Peraza instead of Torres as your starting second baseman. And having Jason Dominguez as your starting center fielder. And having Spencer Jones as your starting left fielder. That's what they tried to do with the Baby Bombers. That's what they're going to try and do now. And that's how you manage to have stars while keeping your payroll at a limit that the Yankees can be comfortable with. Now, that might not, if they're all great, like the 90s, it leads to success. If they're bad, like the Baby Bombers, it won't. But ultimately, it's probably the best way to build your team than paying for every top free agent at every position. That's what the Yankees are trying to do. And now it is difficult while guys like Stanton making big money are on the team, while guys who are making $19, $20 million who aren't playing that well or injured in the case of DJ LeMahieu are on the team. But Rizzo is going to be gone. Verdugo, as much as I just sang his praises, is probably going to be gone. Gleyber Torres is not going to get a contract. He is going to be gone. That is all money coming off the books that they intend to replace with cheaper options, namely young farmhands. That's how they're going to do this. You can have Judge, Soto, Cole, maybe one other guy. Then you have to have cheaper options, and younger players. That's it. And listening to him or reading his comments, I don't get that it means next year, by hook or by crook, we're under the luxury tax. He's just saying for the long-term future of the New York Yankees, we do not plan on operating above the threshold at this level on a year-in and year-out basis. It might be necessary for the... Now, he doesn't say this. This is me just saying. It might be necessary for that to be the case for a year or two. I don't think he put that out of the realm of possibility. He did it this year because he knows he needed it. He might have to do it next year because he knows he needs it. But moving forward, the plan is not going to be sign this guy, sign that guy, sign this guy. We're going to fill up the... Oh, Rizzo can't play? Who's our who's the most expensive first baseman? Oh, DJ LeMahieu's on out? Who's our most expensive third baseman? Like, that's not how they're going to operate. But the Juan Sotos, who's already in this building, who's a generational star, who's going to make money for them by being here, who's a Hall of Famer... That guy they can keep. Judge they can keep. Cole they can keep. You might even have to lose Clay Holmes and not pay a closer big time money, especially the way you've been able to handle your bullpen with no name guys and turn the next Clay Holmes into your closer. You might have to operate your bullpen that way. That is what they're going to do. And if it works, they'll be the better for it. If it doesn't, we'll all complain about the lack of money they're willing to spend. That's what's going to happen with the New York Yankees. I don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. But the idea they'll never pay Soto or the big stars will never be here, totally disagree. I was arguing with a guy on Twitter who says, if you're comfortable with your owner never paying for the big stars, and I'm like, excuse me, is the best pitcher in baseball and the best hitter in baseball on the New York Yankees? I believe that they are. The stars will always be here. They will have to go lesser at other places. Now, we'll see what it means to him to win another championship. And will they aggressively chase it for another year or two or three and be willing to spend money if they don't win one this year or next year? How long will they chase the championship they need because they haven't won one since 2009? Because I do believe he wants to win a championship and he understands there are a time limit on how long they can go without, I would think. But at some point, especially when you look at the landscape of baseball and who is winning championships, because I'm sorry, did the Houston Astros allow Correa to leave? Did the Houston Astros allow Springer to leave? Hell, did the Houston Astros allow Verlander to leave before trading for him back? And yet they've still won. They've developed the next. They got Alvarez. They got Tucker. That's how you win. They don't go out and buy every free agent, and they've owned this last 10 years. There are ways to keep the payroll under where they want to keep it, still sign stars, and still win. It just might not be next year or even the year after. As long as Stanton's on the books, it is more difficult. There's no doubt. But you are looking at young talent. They're going to have to keep developing young talent. And they're not going to replace Rizzo with a world-class first baseman. They're not if you want to keep Juan Soto. That is true. They're not going to go out and search and get the biggest free agent to replace Rizzo. They're not going to get the biggest free agent to play third base. They're going to limit the stars, but the big, big stars can still be here. They're not going to have an all-star high-priced free agent at every position, but you know what? They might. I mean, how do we feel about Volpe? Right now, everyone's pretty gung-ho and excited to see Jason Dominguez return. Verdugo, at the moment, isn't making a ton of money. It made a huge impact on the team. You can still win by making smart decisions, developing your farm system, and signing the few generational stars, which the Yankees will always do. And their payroll might not be this much over the threshold, but it will. It will continue to be at the top of the league. So, shouldn't have said it. Ultimately, the idea that it's not feasible is terminology I'm uncomfortable with, and I think it's stupid to say, and probably inaccurate, because not feasible means you don't want to do it. Don't say it's not feasible. Say we don't plan on doing it. It is feasible. You don't want to do it. And here's the other thing. It doesn't guarantee winning.